The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, a rent sector review has said the government should consider if rent pressure zones be abolished, and tens of thousands of renters are actually not claiming their tax relief despite rising rental costs. Why? We're joined on the line by Carol Tallon, CEO of Property District. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Pat.
Can you tell us why are people not claiming the tax relief? Because it seems like a simple enough operation. You're paying rent, you get a bit of a break from the tax man.
Well, it does sound simple, but unfortunately, like a number of genuinely good, worthwhile government schemes, it's just been really poorly communicated out to people. And in fact, this is consistent on the figures we would have seen last year as well. It's slightly higher than last year, but still relatively low in the context of the marketplace. I think maybe what I see is more interesting here is that we know the people who are claiming that tax allowance, and that would be those who are, say, mortgage applicants. So in fact, what we see is this ever widening of the gap between homeowners, or those on the track to be homeowners, and those who aren't. So essentially, you're either in the know how to engage with government products and use the supports that are there, or you're not. And the government doesn't seem to care about the general majority of the population who just don't know about this or how to access it. I mean, the RTB and indeed the Department of Finance could be doing so much more to encourage people.
How difficult is it to apply for this tax relief?
Actually, it's not difficult at all. And I think that's the thing that will surprise people. You know, dealing with revenue is a little bit of a loaded thing that people are nervous to do. But actually, the digital offering from the revenue commissioners has massively improved over the last number of years. And in fact, even though technical glitches can be very frustrating to deal with, and I've had my own share of that, having to track down a human to speak to, invariably, if you do run into technical issues dealing with the website, which, by the way, is very straightforward, but if you do run into technical issues, while it takes a bit of time to track down a human, the minute you track down that human, in my experience, they're fantastic to deal with.
Okay.
And in fact, I think there's a little bit of a fear factor in engaging, but actually, if you do, you'll find the process very straightforward and the staff within very helpful.
I mean, people who've been claiming tax back on medical expenses and so on, that's made very easy by the revenue these days. So what do you need to show to the revenue? Do you need a rent book? Do you need bank statements, direct debits and so on to cover rents or standing orders, whatever it might be?
Yeah, so a rent receipt. The most important thing, which could be a barrier for people, is that the landlord has to be registered with the Residential Tenancies Board. So actually, you need your tenancy registration number. Now, by the way, every tenancy in Ireland, every legal tenancy in Ireland, should be registered with the Residential Tenancies Board. So the only reason why you wouldn't have that number is if you're in a tenancy that is not legally registered with the Residential Tenancies Board. And while we've no data on that, we do know that it happens.
Let's talk about the real world then, where people are paying a certain amount of rent. They find out that their landlord is not registered and they still ask him to get registered or her to get registered and to give a receipt or whatever it might be. The landlord says no, or says, if I do, I'm going to have to jack up your rent. I'm giving you a bargain basement rental at the moment because you're paying in cash, et cetera, et cetera. Is that the real world? Is an awful lot of that going on?
You know, it's unfortunate that you have to position it as the real world, but that is the marketplace that we're in at the moment. There are people who don't want to be landlords for a number of reasons. And by the way, in some cases, that's because they were previously registered landlords who wish to exit the market, or they have a property going on the market. They don't want to engage with a full tenancy and all of the obligations that entails and the inability to get people out of their property. So look, there are definitely a number of reasons. It shouldn't happen, but there are definitely a number of reasons why it does happen. And by the way, it would be naive to say that there isn't some element of black market in the rental market in Ireland, even though we have no data to support that. We know anecdotally that is the case. And the difficulty is we can't allow the tenants in this situation to be penalised because they are not willing in this. They have no choice. If they were to have to leave the property that they're in at the moment. It's not a case of choosing between a registered option and a non-registered option. The reality is if they leave, irrespective of the cash availability they have, they might not be able to secure another property because our rental market is an absolute chaos. It is utterly broken at the moment. So we cannot, we cannot penalise tenants who find themselves subject to this.
Now, some of the texts coming in. We paid our son's rent while he was in college recently. We couldn't claim the tax relief because none of his landlords were registered with the RTB and all of them accepted only cash payments. Another one, applying for the rent relief is essentially asking the landlord to agree to invite the revenue to further pry into their affairs. Short of giving your landlord's blood and DNA information, it's a very complicated application. Personally, I don't feel I should be inputting my landlord's PPS number into the revenue system. Despite we are all registered with the RTB, it feels like shopping my very decent landlord to the revenue. I haven't done it and I won't be doing it.
Yeah, I would disagree with that, actually. I don't think that the revenue is there trying to peer around corners, trying to catch people out. The reality is the RTB and the revenue has a job to do to maintain our rental system. And by the way, I'd be very critical of the RTB. I think it is an overly burdensome process. I think it is a one-sided process. It is not fair at all. It is pro-tenant and anti-landlord. There's no element of balance there. However, the revenue is not there to try trip up people who are legally renting a property and doing so as a business. And by the way, as a business could be one property or two properties. We don't mean institutional at all. But the revenue are not there to trip them up. And actually, for tenants, there is really no long-term benefit for tenants engaging in this other than they're keeping a roof over their head. So I understand the need for survival. But the reality is when it comes time to apply for a mortgage, the first thing your mortgage broker or your bank will do is say, have you claimed back? Because you need to be able to show that rental to show your affordability, your capacity to repay a mortgage.
Now, Carol, let's move on to the rent pressure zones and the recommendation maybe that they should be looked at again. One of my texters says, rent pressure zones for 8 years now, no other business or service with such punitive restrictions. That idea, the whole idea was to keep a cap on rents. But of course, it was just done in a blanket way. It nothing to do with the quality of the property on offer, the size of the property on offer. It was a very, very blunt instrument, but it was one that the government stuck to, even though there was criticism from the IMF and others. I mean, what's to be done about rent pressure zones? The opposition will say if you abolish them, rents will all fly up.
Well, it's interesting that the political opposition knows more than the IMF. Because every time the IMF visits Ireland, which is frequently and as recently as December, just before Christmas, they have repeated that rent pressure zones don't work. These kind of issues, actually, they don't increase housing availability or affordability. They do the opposite. And the IMF has been very direct in saying, based on global information and observing what's happened in the Irish market over the last number of years, it has consistently advised the Irish government that rent controls need to be scrapped. That's really a very black and white issue.
The idea being that more people might go into the market if it was a free market, and more property in the market brings prices down. That's the theory.
Absolutely. Availability. And by the way, it's not just the theory. We can see it consistently since 2018. Landlords have been fleeing the market. Exodus. You know, these are the words we read in the headlines, and that's not hyperbole. That's the reality. It is backed up by data. And unfortunately, it's a trend that is not reversing. It's only going in one direction. We are losing private landlords out of the market. And we need that because we have this habit within the Irish property market of kind of pitching one side against the other. And the reality is we need all types, all tenures of housing, housing apartments. We need sales and rental. We need rental from the social housing, small non-institutional landlords and institutional landlords. We need them all. And we're chasing all of them out of the market.
Here's a suggestion from a listener. It might sound simple, but how about having a rent cap as a percentage of the value of the property? Each landlord has to pay property tax based on the value of the property. So if the rent cap was, say, set at 7.5%, it would almost be self-regulating. It would do away with the complicated schemes like rent pressure zones and other silly initiatives. That's from Chris in Santry. The idea being that, you know, if the property's in an upmarket area, for the same square footage that you might have in a different area, there's a different value and therefore probably a different rent premium. Why not do it that way?
Actually, Chris and Santry, there's a lot of logic in what you're saying, but unfortunately, our property market does not operate in logic at the moment. So in terms of our land value tax, what I would be concerned about there is that you have very ordinary three-bedroom homes sitting on very valuable land that would actually cause a further divide across the rental market. Yeah. And in fact, what we're doing is we're really creating, an ever wider gap. So our social housing policy over the past decades have moved away from this ghettoising of putting all cheap housing in one area and affordable housing. We know we need mixed tenures in our communities for them to be sustainable. So actually that approach would only lock average earners out of would be very average areas.
In other cities, there are things like, you know, the price of a room to let is based on the square footage of the property and the zone it's in. So, for example, you're living near the Champs-Élysées, you pay far more than if you're living somewhere out near Saint-Denis. And it's governed, it's controlled. Are we just too lazy to do that kind of grading?
No, I don't think it's laziness. You know, you always have to start from where you are, and where we are now is so imperfect. And I think part of this, you know, there was an opportunity to fix so much of this during and in the immediate aftermath of the crash. And we never really did that because everybody was in crisis just trying to scramble and survive. Mm. But the reality is there are ideologies that shape Ireland's attitude to housing. And two of the big buckets that you could put those ideologies into, you know, one believes that the crash was due to cheap and easy credit, but the other believes that it wasn't a market failure, it was a policy failure. And if you go down that road, and if you believe that it was not a market failure, but a policy failure, then unfortunately, we are still failing on policy.
Carol, last question. I own the house, the mortgage is in my name, but my partner lives with me and he pays rent towards the mortgage. Can he apply for that credit?
Actually, the credit works on a unit basis. So if for tax purposes, they work as a family unit, it's not a personal credit, it's a family unit credit. Yeah. So it depends on their own tax situation there. But actually, if they are operating and sharing tax credits as a family unit, then they can operate as that.
All right, Carol, thank you very much for joining us. That's Carol Tallon, CEO of Property District.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.